There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
I was thinking about this recently. Sometimes you hear pastors say, look, I don't want to say no, but I'm conscience bound. I have to say no. Now, I was thinking about that. A lot of times that's an admission on the part of the pastor that his conscience is telling him one thing. His convictions are telling him one thing. But if he were a nice guy, he'd say yes. Now, you've ever had a pastor tell you no? You wanted him to do something and he said no. I'm not talking about coming to visit you in the hospital. He should always say yes to that. But maybe you wanted him to commune your grandmother. And your grandmother, well, she didn't believe what the Bible teaches about the Lord's Supper, and she was pretty plain about it. And your pastor may have said, I don't want to tell you no, but I do have to tell you no. Now, he might be admitting there that his sinful flesh would love to go the easy way, would love to take the simplest route, the path of least resistance, and just say yes. You know, sometimes for a pastor, it's a lot easier to say yes than it is to say no. As often as they might want to say yes. We're going to talk about one of those issues, a proper Christian burial. What if a pastor has to say no? On this Tuesday afternoon, July the 29th, we're broadcasting live from the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music Conference at Concordia University, Nebraska. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Joining us for this subject, Pastor Ben Ball. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Ben, welcome back.
Great. Thanks to be on the show.
Ben, you have a story to tell. You can tell it in general terms. About recently, where you had to say a pretty big no as a pastor. What's the story, and why did you say no?
I think this is a very common story for pastors, and it's happened to me probably too many times, and it hurts every time it happens. There'll be someone in the congregation, or maybe outside the congregation, who will have a loved one die, and that person is not a member of the congregation. Maybe you've met him, maybe you haven't. This most recent case, I had not met the person. And they ask you to do the funeral. And boy, the thing about really wanting to be a nice guy because you feel for someone's loss, you understand the pain and heartbreak at the death of a loved one, and you want to be able to do something. But what is the thing you can do? It's not to perform the Christian funeral. Because funerals in the Christian church are for Christians. And particularly in the Christian congregation, they're for the members of that particular congregation. So as an example, and this is a little far afield here, but if someone is put under church discipline and they're excommunicated, well, you know that that means that they're not able to receive communion at the church. But it also means they will not be able to receive a Christian burial. Because the burial of a Christian is not a right. It's a privilege given to those who have lived the life of faith in Jesus Christ in that place. And particularly when you have a church burying yard, maybe around the church building or down the street, that place is for those who lived a life of faith in Christ Jesus, confessed their sins there, received forgiveness. That was their altar where they received the body and blood of Christ. And that means something to be a member there. And if someone has chosen not to be throughout their life, how can we give something to them in death that they didn't even want in life at all?
Or that would be a lie. Would it be a lie to give to afford a Christian burial? And we're not just talking about a burial. People think Christian burial. They just think, you know, tombstone. We're talking about the rites of Christian burial, the promises of Christian burial, all that goes along with that. A committal for a Christian to the resurrection. Would it be a lie to bury an unbeliever with a Christian burial?
It would. I don't know what you would say. I mentioned before we were on the air, one of the professors that Todd and I both had, and he was very instructive on this in pastoral theology class. He said, what exactly are you going to say at the grave? Because the words that you that the pastor speaks at the committal, they are all about the fact that this person has died with Christ and they're going in the ground like a single seed, but they're going to be raised forth again. And for this person who is outside the church, or particularly outside the faith, you'd be making something up about them. It's not even true. I liken it when someone gets asked, when the pastor is asked this, it would be as if, I'm not a veteran, I went to the local VFW hall, and I said, well, you know, I'm dying, or my family went because I had died. And they said, well, we'd like to have a military honor guard at my husband's funeral, at my funeral. And I said, oh, well, was he a veteran? No. Well, we can't do that. Well, why not? He loved his country. He was a good guy. Well, he wasn't a veteran. And so we're not going to be there. We're not going to fire off our rifles, and we're not going to put a flag over his coffin and act like he was a veteran. How much more is that true for the Christian? We're not going to put a pall on somebody who hasn't been baptized, or someone who had been baptized and rejected it, and rejected the life of faith that takes place at a Christian congregation where the saints who have been baptized gather around to hear the word of God. But the thing with us pastors is we tend to be caring people. We try to be anyway. Hopefully our pastor's a caring guy. And you want to say yes. Oh, I wish I could say things about somebody that I have no evidence that they're actually true. But you can't.
I'd like to lie, but I'm not called to lie.
That's right.
What does the world think of us? What is the picture that the world has of the church that everyone considers themselves entitled to a Christian burial?
For most, I think the church is simply seen as some kind of social service agency. I had the job I had before I went to seminary. I was after I graduated from River Forest, Concordia University, Chicago. I worked at a grocery store stocking shelves overnight. And one of the guys I was working with, he had found out that I was not going to be working there anymore. I was going to go to St. Louis. He said, "So I hear you're going to be a pastor." I said, "Yeah." He said, "So are you going to work with drug addicts and that kind of thing?" I said, "Maybe. I don't know." Mm-hmm. But that was his view of what the church does. It helps out these people that are really, really in bad shape. And they'll perform a nice social service, help get people cleaned up.
Make coffee for the AA meetings.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you die, they should be there to perform some services for you. And, well, you're sure, you probably pay them something. There's got to be some fee involved. And you pay that fee, the pastor shows up, he says his nice little things about the deceased, and that's it. But the thing is, that what a Christian pastor does is while he might say nice things about the deceased, the nice things he says about them is because they are in Christ. They have been redeemed from all the horrible things that they've done or said or thought. And they have lived a life in the forgiveness of their sins and confessed the faith that has been given to the saints in their congregation. And the pastor's been called to serve that congregation. And he would do an injustice. Well, think about it. So you have a whole bunch of members of your church. They faithfully come and attend the divine service every Sunday. They pray for their pastor. They pray for the church. And more than that, they give sacrificially of their offerings to make sure that the preaching of the gospel is still continuing. They're making the good confession. And then at their death, they receive this honor of being buried as a Christian and put in the churchyard. What does it say to that person like that, or any old Joe Schmo who just wants to get buried? The pastor then will do the same thing for him. is the Christian life of faith meaningless in the end? Well, it's not.
So you would no more bury an unbeliever, unbaptized person, give afford them Christian burial, than you would refuse Christian burial to a Christian.
That's right.
Bury him like a pagan.
That's right.
Okay. So you know, though, Pastor Ball, that every time you've had to say no, that family picked up, got into the car, grabbed their iPhone, and they Googled the next church.
They certainly did.
And they found a guy who, when they walked in, said, so-and-so, our family just died. We're very grieved. We need a pastor to bury him. And this pastor down the street, he wouldn't do it. You know that they found.
Yes.
It took maybe one or two tries before they found a guy who said, oh, come on, I'll do it.
Yes.
When do you want to have the funeral?
It's true. And that's, I suppose, when Jesus says that men will speak evil of you. Because then what the world sees is it's the opposite of what they see the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be a social service agency. They help people. But you see, the real way that someone gets helped at a funeral is to hear the promises that have been given to this particular person in their baptism and the forgiveness of sins that are in Jesus Christ, that they grasp this through faith alone, and that person will be raised on the last day to life everlasting. If I can't say that, the only thing I could say is the opposite. And the opposite either is, well, they're in hell. Or I suppose I could say, we don't know where they are. Well, what comfort is that at all? You could, of course, treat it as a time of repentance. But that's not what the people are asking you to do. Mm-hmm. The Christian congregation asks you to do that. And so I've been called to a Christian congregation. They expect me to preach repentance at all times and all places. They want me to.
Isn't that the ideal, though? Even when you have to say no in that situation to the Christian burial for the one who has died, you can still proclaim repentance and forgiveness to the ones who remain.
Yes, you sure can.
I'm not sure that circumstance always affords the best opportunity.
No. And that's why a time previous to this where I had to say no, at a previous parish that I served, the woman had actually been excommunicated from the church, and her family asked if she could be buried. And I said, no, she can't. But what I can tell you is repent and believe. I don't need to do that at a service. Mm-hmm. I can do that in our conversations. I can meet with them. I can, if they'll have me, come over to their house and speak the word of God to them. But I can't give something that properly belongs to the Christian church to someone who is not a member of the Christian church. And Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, and this really is the passage that so many pastors have spoken. When in Luke chapter 9, when he asks a man to follow him, and the man says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Those who have died, they're dead. Pastors are called to preach the kingdom of God, which has to do with repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And sometimes that means we have to say no to things.
So let's talk about that. I want to say yes, but I have to say no. Now, that can be read two different ways, Pastor Ball. It can be read as, look, I'd like to give in. My sinful flesh wants to take the easy route and say yes to you. But I'm bound by God's word and I have to say no. It could also be meant like, well, you know, I'm a nice guy, but God, I got to answer to him.
Yes.
And he's not as nice as I am.
Yes.
If it were my decision, I'm a lot more loving than God is. If it were my decision, I'd do it, but it's not my decision.
And sometimes we don't even go so far as to blaming God. We'll blame the board of elders or some church policy that you got. Oh, well, we passed a policy that I can't bury you. That's just passing the buck. We have to say that the life of faith in Christ Jesus is then expressed even in death, that the confession of a Christian then is proclaimed in the fact that they are buried from the church, where everybody says and knows this person was baptized. And for me to say, well, you know, I'd like to do your funeral, but you know, I try to be a really nice guy, but no, God is the loving one. The pastor needs to get himself out of the way so that Christ can be extolled and extolled in the life of the deceased. And if you, again, you can't extol the life of Christ in someone in death who didn't have him in life.
We're talking with Pastor Ben Ball about a proper Christian burial. This might sound rather shocking to many of you because burial seems to be right. I buy my funeral plot, I pick out my preacher, I get the funeral that I always thought about. We're talking about proper Christian burial. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 29th, and we're broadcasting live from the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music Conference at Concordia University, Nebraska. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the significance not only of the burial, but of the rite that goes along with it, the funeral, and why it is for Christians only. We'll be right back.
Your church service, sanctuary, and congregation are all unique. So why settle for low-quality recordings when your organist is unavailable? The Substitute Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. Log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit to allow you and your members to use the Substitute Organist Service without obligation and without a sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 29th. Pastor Ben Ball is our guest. We're talking about a proper Christian burial. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Here's an objection that I'm sure you've heard. It's an objection couched as a suggestion. Look, Pastor, you can't say no to burying an unbeliever, someone who's perhaps even unbaptized. You can't say no to that because there's your opportunity to preach the gospel to the family. That seems to go with something you were saying before.
Yeah, but there's no gospel apart from holy baptism. That's the great thing about being a Lutheran. Baptism is the gospel. And so for someone who's not been baptized and has rejected baptism throughout their life, they've rejected the gospel. If anything, it would be an opportunity to preach the law and say, this person rejected all the good gifts of Christ in their life. Don't you? But again, if anything, The funeral for someone like that would simply be like preaching one of the prophets of the Old Testament, or like Jonah was supposed to do in Nineveh. Repent, or Nineveh's going to be destroyed. The gospel at a funeral is The proclamation of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection that was applied to the person who has died in Christ. That's the gospel. Christ is risen. He has destroyed the power of death and has given everlasting life to that person through faith alone, and they will be raised up at the last day, and they will stand before him righteous. That's the gospel.
You're saying something here that I think probably grates on people, because I believe that the popular perception is that even for Christians, the only thing a pastor can say at a funeral is, chances are they're with Christ. Chances are they'll be raised. We don't know, but we're more sure about this one than the next one. And conversely, for the unbeliever, the least the pastor should be able to say is chances are they're in heaven. Slim chances, but some chance whatsoever. You're saying that the church actually, insofar as it can, makes a distinction between believers and unbelievers.
It certainly does, because Jesus does. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he's going to separate the peoples as the sheep and the goats. And there are going to be some who is going to say, come, you blessed of my Father, and receive the inheritance which has been prepared before the foundation of the world. And then there's going to be someone who's left, depart from me, you cursed. And so the church simply follows what Jesus says and says there are some people who believe and are baptized and shall be saved. And there are those who don't believe and they will be condemned. Now, this is a scandalous preaching, but it's what we actually believe. And it is at the heart of the Christian message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But there are those who will not believe in him, and they will not have everlasting life. And the pastor is not free to act as if they do by welcoming them into the church in death and give them a rite that is R-I-T-E, rite, that is for the baptized who believe. He's lying, like we talked about before.
Well, let's talk about the rite then. Be specific. Go into some detail. What is it about the actual rite of, we would call it a funeral generally, but the rite of Christian burial, that is for Christians only, that can only honestly be applied for Christians only?
In our Lutheran service book, very helpfully, our new hymnal has put the funeral service in the book itself. So that any Christian who has the book or a pastor who is planning a funeral service with a bereaved family can show them this is what actually we say. The first thing after a hymn is the invocation of the divine name. Just like the person has heard at the divine service throughout their life, now their body is brought into the church in death, and what rings out for everybody to hear is the name of God that was put on that person at their baptism. The name they heard when they came to church every Sunday. The name that saves them by being joined to water. And then what happens next is there is the reading of Romans chapter 6, and it makes the statement, in holy baptism, name of the person, was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. That robe of Christ's righteousness is only received through faith. The unbeliever does not have the robe of Christ's righteousness. See, I mean, you can't say that he does. But the first prayer, the collect, shows you that this is particularly a prayer giving thanks to God for the life of a Christian. It goes like this. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to the name of the person. And all your servants, who having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors, grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're actually praying to God, help us to be like that person whose body is right there. They were faithful, and believed in your son Jesus Christ until they died. And now they live. Lord, help us to be like them. Now, the Christian church surely doesn't want to pray if you bring an unbelieving person into the church. Lord, help us to be like them and not be believing and never go to the divine service on Sunday morning and don't give any offerings and don't pray. The life of faith in Jesus Christ, it does mean something. The fact that you go to church, the Lord's house, from week to week actually means something. You're confessing who Christ is. An unbeliever doesn't do that. At the end of the service, what is also really interesting about, and this is a relatively new thing to our funeral liturgy, is the praying of the Nunc Dimittis, which is from Luke chapter 2, and it's the song of Simeon after he held in his arms the baby Jesus. And the pastor, or perhaps one associate pastor, an assistant, says, "I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Now, this is the promise that Jesus gave at the death of Lazarus. And it is read over the casket of the person who's died, saying, this person lived, and during their life, they believed in me. And they believed in Jesus. And even though they've died, they're still alive. And then the Song of Simeon is said, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word's been fulfilled. Well, what's the word? This person who died and believed in Jesus through faith in his promises now really sees him. There's no doubt about this. We know it. And you, dear bereaved people who are saddened and hurt and in pain because of the death of the one you loved, hey, Jesus is alive. You're the one you love, they're alive in the bliss of paradise now, and they're going to be raised up again. And they will live with Jesus Christ. Go in peace and be of good cheer at that promise. That's what we need to hear. And that's what can't be said at an unbeliever's funeral.
What can be said at a believer's funeral? What is the true comfort for the family who... They obviously don't take comfort in the life of the person themselves, but in what can... What did you say before? They can... we can only say these words because they were baptized into Christ.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the comfort there with about a minute here?
Well, lots of times people like to eulogize or have a eulogy or something like that. It's good words. And you actually can say good words about people. At that opening collect of the liturgy, it says, help us to follow them in faith. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do. We want to be like the deceased who recognized their sins and held on to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and trusted in their Savior's words. That is a good word to say about somebody. They're dead? Yeah, they're dead. But they believed. Help me to be like that. And be like that.
Pastor Ben Ball is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Good, faithful guy, Ben. Good to see you again, and thank you very much for being our guest.
It's great to be here.
We're going to be broadcasting again tomorrow from the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music Conference here at Concordia University, Nebraska. We'll be talking with Dr. Robin Lever about the Reformation and church music. There's a lot to be said there. A lot of history, a lot of theology, and we'll talk about chanting with him, with Pastor Chris Eskett as well, chanting part of the ancient liturgy as well. Folks, if you are looking for some Christ-centered, cross-focused worship resources, you can go to lcms.org/worship, lcms.org/worship. It's a hard word to hear, especially for the world to hear, and even for some Christians who kind of believe, well, isn't everybody kind of an anonymous Christian, a default Christian? This distinction between believer and unbeliever, it's a hard word to hear because it's good news for the believer, and it's the terrible, most worst news there ever was for the unbeliever. And the church is here to deliver both, to say to an unbelieving world, maybe even something like this. You know, you want a Christian burial. You want the assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. You want the pastor to be able to say, this person lived and died in Christ and now lives and will be raised in Christ. Repent and believe. And sometimes that's all the church can say. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.